My name's Adam Scarborough. I'm a long-time civil liberties campaigner. I've been following this scandemic right from the very beginning and been to a number of court cases. And I was at one earlier this morning, which was the 18th of November, Thursday, 18th of November, in Marylebone Magistrates Court. And Wolsey, although I was surprised because I thought that violation under coronavirus legislation earlier this year would not be a two-way offence or an indictable offence, the magistrate, strangely enough, gave Wolsey the opportunity to be tried before a Crown Court, which
Sorry,
is going
can
to
you
be.
just explain what you mean by a two-way? You know, because this
Okay, two-way.
most people probably, hopefully, our listeners haven't been to magistrates' courts and don't know how they work.
Right. So two-way basically or is an offence like where you can be tried at a Crown Court or a Magistrates Court. And so I thought it would be like, for example, with a TV licence affair, you wouldn't be tried in a Crown Court. But as apparently the police are accusing Wolsey of biting them when they were pushing his head to the floor, they're giving him the opportunity to be tried in a Crown Court, which I think is a much better idea. And this morning, Wolsey actually said to the magistrate, "I'm glad I'm not going to be tried here because you're so corrupt." And as you know, the other name for magistrates' court is actually police courts. So he's taken the option to be tried under a Crown Court. I think it's on the 16th of December, so it's next month.
So what's he being tried for?
Well, basically, earlier this year, when the coronavirus legislation was in its height, the police were running around like lunatics, grabbing people, anyone they could. It was like a really they was in their element, and they didn't have permission to grab anyone who was on the street. They were grabbing them. And Wolsey, I mean, there was a picture on, I think it was YouTube, of him has having his face pushed into the floor by the police, and the police do what they
Sorry,
always do when they.
what sort of demonstration was this? Is it anything specific?
It was one of the regular anti-lockdown marches that we've had over the last 18 months, 2 years on a Saturday. But it was one that was right at the end of the coronavirus legislation before the marches became legit again.
What about Piers as well? Because I know he's been trying to break the record for going into court.
Yeah, he has indeed. He's back in court again on the 1st of December, Marylebone Magistrates Court, if anyone wants to come and support him. He's been arrested, and I think in his life about 40 times. You're right, he is going for the world record, but I think he's been arrested at least 10 to 15 times over the last 2 years. I've seen most of them, and he had three of them thrown out a couple of weeks ago from Marylebone Magistrates Court, but he's got a number of others still coming up. He's got a very good lawyer, Richard, who got the last three thrown out under the Human Rights Act, I think Article 8 of the Human Rights Act, and he's going for the same again. He did get a conviction last year just under the Crown Prosecution Service's legislation, although it was a discharge, it was still really technically a conviction. So it could have been far worse. But as I say, we've still got many, many more cases with the Metropolitan Police to come up. I mean, for all we know, Tony, they could all be thrown out. I mean, in my opinion, it's all much ado about nothing. It's just the police being spiteful, the police being vindictive by arresting him in any way they can.
Well, hang
But
on, because
Piers.
the police will say that they were worried that this was a very, very dangerous virus on the loose, and that people like Piers and Wilsey were really taking the mickey by going out and basically spreading it.
Yeah, that will be their that will be the police's logic, as you rightfully say. I mean, if someone can explain that to me, I remember a policeman in Finsbury Park last year saying, telling people that they were killing people, but strangely enough, the police weren't killing people, even though they were out and the main source of cross-infection because they were going around to different groups. So in a policeman's head, that seems to make sense. It doesn't make so much sense to me, but that is the excuse that the police will use under the coronavirus legislation. You're quite right. Yeah.
What about the lockdown this Christmas? Now, many countries in the EU seem to be, this seems to be about to happen. In places like Austria, Germany. Austria is particularly nasty if you haven't had your vaccine. What do you think things are going to be like in London?
I think it's quite unpredictable. Personally, I don't think the remarkable Neil Ferguson will go for that, because I think then what they might go is more push the vaccine passport and the vaccine legislation. I might be wrong, because I've just been speaking to a friend of mine in Madrid, and she told me they might be going into lockdown again and it's spreading. But it depends where you're coming from on this one. If you believe that this is truly about a virus and a PCR test, although it can be amplified to any level, it could get a positive result out of a stone if you put it up to 45 or whatever it is, the amplification level is. If you believe that that's a proper test, then you'll go along with the virus theory. But Kerry Mullis, the person who invented the PCR test, said it was not to be used for detecting viruses. And I tend to go along with the case that this is no longer about a virus. This is purely about control. And particularly when I see Johnson and others in Parliament quoting from the Great Reset, this confirms any suspicions that I may have had.
Adam, I'm going to ask you then, what do you think's really been going on and where are we heading?
I think this is a long-term plan to basically transform society into a one world global oligarchy. I may be wrong on some of this, but the impression I get, it's basically extremely powerful plutocrats, technocrats and oligarchs who want to use everyone else to the detriment of everyone else to enhance their own power and basically to profit out of everyone else's misery. There was a philosopher, I can't remember his name, who was speaking about the other day. He described it as privatization of the state, which is quite interesting. Privatization of the state. People do refer to it as communism and Marxism, but nothing could be further from the truth, because Marxism is a system about equal distribution of wealth and transformation from private ownership into public ownership. But this is about plutocrats, filthy rich plutocrats like Sunak and others. And I notice Sunak is always saying the might of the state, and they think they've got it mad, but I don't think in the long term this will last once people realise what's going on. And as George Orwell, I think, proved that totalitarianism needn't come from a communist state. It can also come from a capitalist state, even maybe more so from a capitalist state, if the motivation is there for capitalists to control and to punish people to get what they want, then they will do it. And I think George Orwell, when he wrote 1984, they weren't just stories, they were warnings about what may happen in the future.
Well, of course, Adolf Hitler, his party, the Nazi party, got their initial funds from the German steel cartels, the Thyssens and the Krupps, and, big business, basically saying we want a state which is going to operate in our interests. And of course, they got what they wanted, which was enormous amounts of armaments that they were then asked to produce, tanks coming off the end of the production like there's no tomorrow. But obviously there weren't quite enough of them. More of them rolling off the production lines in Russia. Anyway, look, where do you think is a good place to follow the activities in London? I don't know if Piers has got his own thing, but he obviously seems to be pretty active.
He's out there every single day. Today they was outside him and his friend Heiko, who's fluent, was outside the Austrian embassy, I think it was today. Two good places to go. Number one I would recommend is Stop New Normal website. If you just Google Stop New Normal. Another one is Stand Up X, or just go to Piers Corbyn on Facebook, which is another very good source of information. But first of all, I would go for Stop New Normal, because it's got a list of all the events that are coming up.
You mean Piers is still on Facebook? That's not very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just uses it tactically, you know, because he gets through to. I mean, Facebook is incredibly powerful medium after all. I mean, whatever his misgivings may be about it, he's using it. He's never said to me that he's got any regrets about going on it. I think he had more regrets about going into Starbucks or something like that than using Facebook. He's a fascinating man, a very, very brave man, and I believe he has had. He doesn't really see eye to eye with his brother, though he told me the other week he was going around to try and get his brother back in the Labour Party because I think he's still suspended. And the other week when we were outside Belmarsh Prison, Jeremy Corbyn turned up with Diane Abbott, strange enough, who were both masked at the time, and Piers wasn't too happy about that. So I think they agree on certain things and they disagree on others. But one thing I think you can be certain of, had Jeremy Corbyn won the last election, he may have been able to pull a few strings for Piers. I mean, it certainly couldn't be any worse. I mean, how could it be worse? I think Jeremy Corbyn was what you may describe as a genuine socialist. He definitely had socialist ideas. What we're dealing with now is just a capitalist oligarchy, plutocracy, in my opinion. And it's what's frightened, I think, so many people. I don't usually like to use psychological theories when I'm talking about things, but I think one that definitely comes into mind here is a theory of cognitive dissonance. And I explain basically what that means in simple terms. It means basically that people will do whatever they can to avoid conflict. Nobody likes conflict, wars, etc. People like good vibrations. And they would, part of that, the scenario is they would rather go along with the state from a virtue signaling perspective and think and believe mistakenly that the state is looking after them when they're not. I think cognitive dissonance really explains the principles behind their behaviour. People don't like conflict, and the state does put a lot of fear into people. And as David Icke said recently, never has there been so much responsibility on people who realise what's going on to tell everyone else. But as I've been involved in one war, the Falklands War some years ago, and I can honestly say that the first part of any war is always a start. If you look where we were a year ago, the police were running around like lunatics, bashing everyone. That was under the coronavirus legislation. Now we see weaknesses in each other's side. We're getting the Global Veterans Alliance on the street now, which is a FUMA group of ex-squaddies who are coming out. That's getting bigger as well. So fortunately, human beings do have the wonderful gift of self-preservation and survival in times of trouble. These gifts come up. And I think understandably so, because this whole thing was thrust upon people so unsuspectingly, Tony. I mean, I think a lot of people voted. I wasn't one of them. A lot of people voted for Conservative with good faith, believe that Johnson may have been another Trump. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. And he's proved that he's nothing of the kind. I think he's just an inadequate psychopath who has no remorse for his behaviour whatsoever. It's purely about self-ingratiation. And I think you'd have to go back a long way to find a prime minister who's as bad as him. You could mention Tony Blair. I mean, it can be said that what Blair did, you know, by killing thousands of Arabs was criminal, but I don't think British people have ever suffered by being under siege by their own government in the way we have with all this coronavirus legislation.
You talk about Jeremy Corbyn there and Piers and their relationship. I suppose actually it's pretty good if you compare it to the royal family. But the other side of that is that we've got this kind of Starmer-esque Labour Party now, and the only opposition seems to be within the Conservative Party itself.
That is one option, I would agree. But I mean, I've been speaking, I think, three big figures. You probably heard of them in the demos. Has been David Curtin of the Heritage Party, Lawrence Fox, the actor of, I think it's the Reclaim or Reform Party, and Piers Corbyn. And I said, what we have to do ultimately is to basically to form a cross-political force which involves, you know, we've got to put past differences aside, left and right and all that. We have a common enemy now, which is this Tory oligarchy. And I think millions of the British public would be desperate now to vote for a new political force. And I think if such a party came about in the next election, and I don't really believe that Johnson, I think they'll get rid of Johnson long before the next election. I think if such a party came about, I think we could definitely take Tory votes, and we could probably take thousands of Labour votes as well, because let's face it, you mentioned Starmer. Starmer is just a duplicate of Johnson. There is no difference. He just tries to be a little bit more vicious than Johnson at the stage. There is effectively no opposition. And I don't think we can really talk about the Liberals, the SDP or whatever it's called these days. So I think ultimately one way we can win a big knock to the establishment is to vote them out by having a new political force. And I've spoken to Fox about this, I've spoken to Curtin about this, but there is no point in having these people, Piers and others, standing against each other like they did in the mayoral elections. It's absolute futility. We have to hit, as Napoleon said, you have to hit the main target with every force that you've got, and that's these dreadful, dreadful Tories that we've got at the moment.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, but I mean, the thing is that ultimately, they will need to take a leaf. The only person I've seen in my lifetime that's been able to achieve that really has been Nigel Farage and his UKIP, then the Brexit Party. So they're going to have to take a leaf out of his book, surely.
Yeah. Well, I think Farage, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Farage has had a lot of influence. I don't think we'd have had Brexit done without Farage. But the trouble with Nigel Farage is he tends to do so much and then wanders off into the wilderness. I think what we really need is a more stationary force and a more consistent force. I'm not saying Nigel Farage is a prima donna. But this isn't just about one man. This is we can all have our different personalities, but ultimately,
well, I suppose what I'm talking about here is tactics, isn't it? Where, I mean, for example, when UKIP got infiltrated by Tommy Robinson, he rather deftly just stepped sideways and said, "Right, okay, we're setting up a completely new party," and left them to rot. You know, this is the sort of thing that, you know, you would hope that the Corbynites and the Corbynistas in the Labour Party might be able to achieve.
Well, that's very, very true. I think we, you know, there's no point. So many good parties have been destroyed by personality conflicts. And it doesn't matter what your personality is. The main thing is that we work together to get the main enemy. And this is why it has been said, I don't necessarily believe it myself, that Farage is a state plant, because he creates organisations and then drives a wedge through them. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but it has to be consistent. It has to be one that doesn't involve personality conflicts. We have to put that aside, ignore the personality, and just ultimately work together. And I think one of the few positive things about this scamdemic has been the case that when I go on the demos, we're seeing people from the left, we're seeing people from the right, former Socialist Workers Party members, even people from what you might describe as the extreme right, and they're all coming together. And you know what? Under one force, we've now got a common enemy and a common narrative. And I think that's one of the few things that's actually quite positive about this. We all, whatever our previous political home, we all now have something in common, which is this shocking government we have. And I, to back up my words, shocking government, if you look at the shocking acts that has come from all the Tories over the last few years, the Digital Economies Bill, the Investigatory Powers Act, otherwise known as the Snoopers Charter, the Police and Powers Bill, which is going to effectively destroy the right to demonstrate, and more frighteningly, the Covert Criminal Intelligence Act, which is going to make the police become a law unto themselves, where they'll be able to kill and torture with impunity. I mean, this is absolutely terrifying, but no one can blame Jeremy Corbyn for this. This is all being pushed by the Tories. I see that Johnson has just got so many fifth columns in his government. I mean, in the last 2 years, the British people have suffered more terror than any time ever, other than being in a state of world war, in my opinion. None of the great reset he keeps speaking about has ever been performed with public consent. And Johnson knows this, and I think he has to explain to the British people, when did the British people authorise him to endorse Klaus Schwab's The Great Reset? the will of Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci. Voters did not.
I think actually what we'd like is Boris to start launching a campaign to abolish money, to make sure that all the basic essentials of life are available to every citizen for free. That would make quite an impact, I think. Anyway, look, Adam, can you just finish again by reminding us of where people can find Piers's sites?
Right, a good one. Piers's main site is Stop New Normal. If you Google that, Stop New Normal, and the other one is Stand Up X. Or you can go onto Piers's Facebook page, which I think is also just called Piers Corbyn Stop New Normal. But the main thing is just Stop New Normal. You can Google that, and most of the information you need should be there.
Okay, civil liberties campaigner Adam Scarborough, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.